Well, one surprise announcement, and that is that this semester I am not going to teach on Stephen. 2 days ago, the Lord, I was searching on Stephen, and I'll read some of the scriptures. And I mean, the Lord hit me with an angle of David in relationship to the Lord, and so the title of the sharings during this semester will be David's Intimacy with the Godhead. And the Lord really, it was almost as if something really hit you. It basically almost knocked me down. It made me for that day and that night and the next morning just weak. And what it was the Lord really showing me this relationship of intimacy that David has or had with God. And and one of the things that he was dealing with me on, with this whole thing with either sharing on Stephen or whatever, was when he hit me with that, my heart just so wanted that kind of intimacy with the Lord. Really, seriously, wanting the Lord on a basis like that. And David was just a man. And we know that he was a man after God's heart. And we know those words, but he started giving me examples of that. And with those examples, a mixture of jealousy, because I wanted that what he had, to a deep, deep, deep respect for him and for his relationship with the Lord, and of the things that transpired between the Godhead and David. And at the time, and I'd shared this with a few people who were struggling, but at the time there was a particular thing that I would recently say to people that were struggling with different things was, you know, I said, basically, your life is either over here in the trials and in the turmoil and all of that, or it's like Martha was, and then trying to drag everybody else into that. Or it's like Mary, where you're just, even though that's all going on, you're with the Lord. Now, we know that, but within the realm of this dealing that he was doing a couple of days ago, and let me just say, started a couple of days ago, I am committed to this. I saw that the scriptures that said, Mary hath chosen. Mary chose to be with Jesus in that way instead of in the turmoil. Yeah. And I saw it. I know this sounds simplistic, and I'm sorry because I don't know how else to explain it, but I saw that being over here, you know, being Martha and in all the whole thing, there really is a hope. There really is that we can step out of that and just go, I choose going after the Lord. I choose, instead of trying to figure out this, I choose to seek the Lord and set my heart on the Lord, because I do choose this, because I do want the Lord more than I want everything to be figured out over there. And then the words that Jesus said was, she hath chosen this thing, and it shall not be taken away from her. It shall not be taken away from her. You know, it's eternal. It's everlasting. And that if I could enter into that the way David did, then that could be throughout my life, throughout my turmoils that I have to deal with, all the way into all eternity, to be with the Lord in that way. And my heart just screamed, yes, 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 that's what I want. That's what I want so much. I want to be with him, and I want to be with him on his terms instead of all of my problem terms. And that's not to say that the Lord's not here. The Lord's not going to be here tomorrow to help people, to minister to people, to care for people. It doesn't say that. But there is a difference between this turmoil going on over here with Martha and, you know, well, if you need the help, we've got this problem and there's all this and, you know, and trying to figure it out, trying to figure out, navigate, if we usually use that word, navigate through these things. And Mary just chose the other way, you know. She just chose being with Jesus. And all of that was going on. And she really does, you get the feeling that she's just not even hearing Martha, right? I mean, or she's hearing Martha and still within herself saying, I'm choosing to be here with Jesus no matter what tries to drag me away into that turmoil, into that nightmare. Oh, to be with Jesus, you know, to be with him and to lay hold of this beyond a sermon or a class, where we could sort of, like in any circumstance, be hit with something and yet choose to just say, I'm not going to listen to all the noise right now. I'm going to set my face to be with the Lord. And I didn't really realize as I was saying that and thinking that and choosing what it was going to mean. But what it means is this class, or if you want to call it a class. So one of the things we know is that David hears the heart of God, but it's so much more than that. It is so much more than that. I think most of us have had times or seasons where we heard the heart of God, but maybe we don't always. I don't know that David always did. But David seemed to get to a place where he was always after the heart of God, a man after his own heart. Always. And when I say always, that doesn't mean, you know, you can't wash your dishes or something like that. You know, but you can wash your dishes and be with the Lord, you know. And you can have stuff going on around you and you can choose to be with the Lord. And you say, well, yeah, but it's so loud. Well, I understand all that. And I'm, you know, I don't really know how to describe it in such a way that it'll work for everybody at every minute. I just know that the Spirit of God has really impacted me. And as soon as I chose to be like Mary with the Lord really started moving in this way, this above way, this more way, this powerful way that weakened me, but put my heart on a path for Jesus beyond religion, beyond problems, beyond all of that. Because I really believe that's what David had with the Lord, beyond religion. And we'll probably get into a bunch of that. And by the way, this is so new, I'm still working on just even the initial parts of this. But beyond religion, David had a relationship with the Godhead that was beyond religion. And it was more about them was. It was more about them. And there's something freeing when you start entering into that, because a lot of times that other turmoil involves us and it being about us. And it's refreshing to be with the Lord and it be about in our hearts to be with His heart. Even if we don't know what it is, see, that's the key. See, you don't have to know anything. You just have to say, Lord, I just want to be with you. I just want more of a relationship. And I'm just saying, Lord, I'd give anything to have a relationship like David had with you. And I have searched beyond probably what we'll talk about tonight. And the more I search, the more full it gets, the more it feels so much more than a lesson, so much more than something that would just be in passing. And so it would be good if it's in your hearts to pray for me. As I prepare to be with Him and to share with you and maybe in, all of us as we prepare to be in that sort of a heart. So this all started with me searching out Stephen. Okay, Book of Acts, chapter 2, of course, and and as I was searching, I mean, some of the very first stuff that came up in my search, I'm searching Stephen and da 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 da, and the Spirit of God was really good on it too. I mean, it wasn't, this other is so vastly beyond it though, but the sharing on Stephen was really good. But you know, it starts, I mean, Stephen doesn't even show up until there's this murmuring that's going on within the body there over, you know, an issue. Anybody know those scriptures? You know, wow, you know, it was like the Lord took me on a journey and showed me, you know, and maybe someday I'll get a chance to share it, but He showed me that same pattern is the pattern He took Paul with, so much so that it's a little bit scary. But as He was identifying things, talking about things, and drawing them from the Scriptures, and clearly the Spirit of God presenting it from the Scriptures to me, it just had too much turmoil. At the moment, I just said, Lord, I just want to be with you, you know. I just want to step out of that, and I want to step over here, and I want to seek you on a completely different basis than that. Even that which was in the Scriptures, you know, I just do. And, you know, you know the words, you know, but do we know the Lord in there? I'm pretty sure David is the one who got this from Him, because he was intimate with Him. A broken and contrite heart He will not despise. And that's almost like David trying to signal us, because he's found us one of many steps to keep moving further and further and further until he was out of the realm of all that stuff and totally environed, totally in an environment that had its own strengths and had its own rest and had its own joys, had its own victories, but they weren't the same kind of victories, you know, that over in that other realm. So anyway, in Acts chapter 2, so I'm skipping now that initial place where the turmoil was happening in the scriptures, and I'm going to where the Lord began to hit me, okay? Acts chapter 2 and verse 29, and we'll just read all the way down to 33, I guess. Men and brethren, let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David. Now this is Peter speaking. Peter.
What scripture again, please?
Acts chapter 2, verse 29. Men and brethren, let me speak freely unto you of the patriarch David. Okay. Now David's going to get a couple of names in here. And they're really, really, really going to miss the mark as far as God's understanding of the relationship he has with David. But we have to have our little religious labels. Amen? Somebody? We always have to have our labels. And those labels try to help us to understand, to give us security or whatever. But David didn't need security when he reached that place, and when I say reached that place, because I'm convinced that he was ever moving, not necessarily quickly, but ever moving within that place to a broader place of it. And these are the kind of things that the Spirit was starting to say to me before he just really knocked me down. And speak unto you. This is Peter. I want to talk to you about David. That's what he's saying. I want to talk to you about David. Speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing... Okay, so now he's calling David a prophet. And I'll read eventually when we get to my notes. how unusual it is to think of David as a prophet. Second of all, to realize that all of his information that he got from God relating to the future wasn't prophetic. It was God sharing his heart with him. He was not functioning as a prophet. Many times he was just sitting in proximity to God as they talked. You all remember some of my sharings on that? You know? Just powerful things because of proximity to them, to the Godhead. You know, the Lord said unto my Lord, and that's not, David's not in that conversation. He's just noting that there's at least two of them up there, amen? And of course, he talks about the Spirit being on David, so there was three of them. And everybody else in Israel thought there was one God, amen? David's functioning within the realm of three. I mean, if you think about all Israel and the Lord thy God is one God. And of course, then the New Testament says, well, he's three in one. It's actually not three gods, but it's three that make up the one, which I agree with. They're one in essence. They're one in being, but they're not the same person, and we all understand that. But if you could imagine David, all of his writings, he's mentioning, you know, the Father and the Son. While he may not be using those words, he's mentioning in those scriptures that I just described, he's mentioning the Father and the Son. The Lord said to my Lord, and he already had Jesus as his Lord. I mean, Jesus brings the subject up later, right? Like, you know, later, like a millennium later or something like that, you know. He brings it up. And I want to get into that a little more, but I want us to realize how incredible the scriptures that I was so familiar with but didn't get a clue. It's like learning a subject. I didn't have a clue of the depth of a relationship that a human being could have like this. And that we could enter into that. But, you know, there has to be that want to. I mean, there has to be an inkling that it exists. Anyway, so, therefore being a prophet and knowing, okay, so now I want to just break down the next couple of sentences to help us to really realize what it is that David is knowing. Okay, David is knowing something, and Peter knows that David has figured something out, but he didn't figure it out. He knows it because he knows God. And he knows, and I don't mean because he's a Christian or because he's a Jew, he knows God. I mean, he knows God. He spends time with him. And that God, three in one, they speak to him. And they move around him. And it's just amazing all the scriptures that begin to show a relationship that, you know, I don't even think it's in the New Testament described as powerful as David's relationship. Because Paul's relationship was, you know, he had a great relationship with the Lord. And he heard from the Lord. But you don't hear the intimacy that you hear with David over and over and over and over and over from them to him. So this, therefore being a prophet, David, knowing, so I wrote a little chart down here to help me to divide it up. Therefore being a prophet and knowing something as a prophet would know, what did he know? He knew that, and there's going to be several things he knew, that Peter, at this moment, the head apostle on the earth and will forever be one of the top, even among the 12, is saying David. Now, he saw this. Peter saw this in the scriptures. David experienced it with God. Do you understand the difference? Let me say it again. Peter saw that David knew something from the scriptures, and he's describing that, but he's describing something that was so much more real than an understanding of what happened in history. So, therefore, being a prophet and knowing something as a prophet would know, what did he know? He knew that, number one, God had sworn with an oath to David, right? Are y'all familiar with the Davidic covenant? That's what he's talking about here. That's what he's talking about. But the things that surrounded that covenant, I mean, David's walking along, you know, he's in the kingdom, he's the king, he's just going along, and it hits him one day. He looks at his house, his beautiful cedar house, and he goes, this isn't right. I dwell in this big, beautiful house, and he doesn't have any. Who thinks about God on those kind of levels? Well, God's in heaven, you know, and heaven's his footstool. Nice house. Somebody laughed. That's, you know, it's just a footstool, okay? We don't care. We just go right on. We're not breathing into the relationship. We're just reading scriptures that go along with these things. So David's walking along, and this is when the thing happens. So it comes into his heart, it says. It comes into his heart. I don't like the fact that he got me this big house. He made me king. He took care of me when I was on the run. He saved me time and time again out of circumstances. I don't care about all that. I care about him. And I just think that I should give him something. Something big. Something out of the care of my heart for him. So he goes to Nathan the prophet. He says, you know, I want to do this. And the prophet says, good, yeah, let's do it. And it's kind of funny how the story reads, because it's almost like they go to bed or something, I don't know, and then Nathan comes in like, hey, wake up. David, God said no. You know, it's like, what? You let me go to bed thinking yes, and now you're saying no. I mean, it's almost like, did you change your mind, or did God? But God said no. But here's what he did say. I'm going to take care of you. This is God talking to David again. Because God is overwhelmed with the fact that David is seeing him on that level and wanting to relate like that and to give and to flow within what the Godhead does. And it's such a big deal, because hardly anybody does it on any kind of relational, big relational basis. That God's just like, you know, now God had already had a lot of relating, and David had already had a lot of relating with God. There'd already been a lot of stuff going on. I mean, they had really built a relationship by then. And God was moved with David's heart. But David was moved with God's heart. And there, you know, there's a saying, you can't outgive God. I wonder if David tried. You know, you got to get the feeling. Because he was that, he felt that kind of relationship with the Godhead. And he's like, I see how y'all operate. And you get that in a lot of his sharings. They're subtle. You have to actually be thinking about what he's thinking and the care that he's showing when he says certain things. We just take it for granted. Well, oh yeah, so David wanted to build him a house. But I mean, he stopped. He was stopped in his tracks and just kind of went, you know, this isn't, I can't live like this. You know, I want to give God something. And God is so into that heart and that way that he just goes, okay, from all generations, you know what I mean? And I'm going to, you know, one of your seed is going to sit on the throne. Of course, that's what we got out of it. That's what we're reading right now to find out what really is going on. Okay. But that's the way it's taught. Go on the internet and say, what's the Davidic covenant? And it's, well, God promised David that there would always be one of his seed on the throne, which it wasn't fulfilled if that was the promise, right? So what did he know? He knew that God had sworn an oath to him. Now this, I want to clue you now on, before we move on with the thing I'm trying to get to, and that is, There was an oath. There was an oath. And I want to say that God was big on oaths, and David picked up on that. That this was a thing with God. See, when you're around somebody, you pick up on things about them, right? You notice things. You're aware of things. If you're not around somebody, you know, we go, huh, you know, or maybe you don't even notice. You know, maybe it takes you a long time. I mean, you know, girls are always complaining that the guy never notices when she gets her hair cut for him. You know, I got my hair cut for you. You know, but he doesn't, she would rather him walk up and go, oh, you got your hair cut. It looks nice. Guys, there's no hope. There just isn't any hope for guys. But God, you know, notices stuff, doesn't he, about us? And here's something even greater. David notices stuff about God that are, I don't know the right word. What?
Hidden.
Well, they're hidden to the natural eye, but they're not hidden to the heart. And he picks up on him and you know, because he's in a intimate relationship with this person, meaning a heart relationship, meaning a caring relationship, meaning a noticing relationship, noticing a give and take relationship, meaning an ongoing relating like that. And you know what? God's always doing stuff for us, isn't he? But anyway, back to just the oath part. It's just a little clue there that I want to give you, because when you go through David's stuff in relationship with the Lord, you find out that he's catching this oath thing with God. And this is one of them. So, what did David know? He knew that God had sworn with an oath to him. Okay, but what was it that he swore? Of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh. Okay, so of the fruit of David's loins according to the flesh, something's going to happen, and I'm giving you this oath. And that is, what would God do? He would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Now, I'm just in line quoting the scriptures that we're in. Okay? Do y'all understand that? I just broke it down so that we could go, okay, so this leads to this, so this, and this, and this, and this. And then we go, oh, wow! Because it can get a little jangly in there with several of the things that it's saying. So the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, what would God do? He would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Well, we go, okay, see, I knew that. That's the Davidic covenant. I knew that. No. David has seen more, and Peter knows that he has. So he says, what would God do? He would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. In that promise, David saw something. What did he see? Verse 31. He, seeing this before, so there's the prophet, but he wasn't a prophet, I'm telling you. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. He saw that God's promise wasn't just to David, but that David, you're going to get more than all of your sons and grandsons and da-da-da-da are going to get to sit on a throne. I promise you that through you, Christ, how he words it here, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing before, this is David seeing this before in that covenant. When God's saying it, he sees it. He understands it. But he's understanding it different than the way we all see it. That he seen before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. And I put, what did he see concerning resurrection? Two things. That his soul was not left in hell, And the next one is, neither his flesh did see corruption. Okay, and then finally, verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are witnesses. So what is he saying? He says the basic thing, and what am I saying? I'm saying David saw into what we didn't. Do y'all understand that? If you kind of understand what I mean by that, raise your hand. Okay. What I mean is that we saw only that he's going to get his seed on a throne for a long time. And there are books written about it, folks. And there are sermons about it. But David saw something in the heart of God for his son. What? You have a son? Yeah, well, David already had that figured out. You know what I mean? But Israel didn't. Israel didn't at all. And they read his stuff all the time and never went, buddy, are you worshiping three gods? Like they do with Christians. No. David saw that this oath was that he was going to raise up his son from the dead, from corruption. And so what is he seeing? He's seeing the death, the burial, the resurrection of another portion of God in the Trinity that he's been communing with. Does that affect anybody? Does that make you want to lay down your own idea of where you're at with the Lord and go, I really want to be with you. I really want to be able to relate with you in such a way that I'm not blinded by what I think you're saying, and I see it because that's the deal. I mean, he's saying, David seeing, you know, beforehand. He's seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ. That's what he's saying that David did. He got it. He got it. All right. So, I mean, how intimate would it be? And they already had to be in this relationship, David and the Godhead. But how intimate would it be for I'm going to back up and go through it now again. For David to be walking along and going, you know, and looking at his house and then going, I can't stand it. I want God to have something. He's given me so much. He always gives. I want to do something big. Not famous big. Amen. Heart big towards God. So that's completely different. And why is it completely different? Because David was a man after God's own heart. And we're just Christians. And nobody's blaming you or putting expectations on you, not tonight. But what I am doing is saying from the things that I've seen already, don't you want a relationship beyond this world and this understanding and how we wrest the scripture to our own destruction instead of and never see that thing. So David's walking along and he sees his house and he goes, I want to do something for God. It was in his heart. It says it came in his heart. It came in his heart. Oh, praise God. It didn't come in his mind or, his want to. It came into his heart. And so he talks to the prophet and the prophet says, yes, do it. And then he comes back later on and says, no, you can't do it. But here's the deal. Here's what God said to me. God was really moved by the fact that you would be moved in that way. God was really moved. And now think of this. Now it would be one thing if God was so touched and had been many times because of their relationship. This wasn't an isolated situation that you were talking about. And it would be something if God said, I will put all of your seed on a throne. Who else would he say that to? Who else would God say that to? Who, you know what I mean? Now, that's not what he was saying, but that's what we thought he was saying. But if he did just say that, how intimate would that be that God himself would go, you know what? You know, I'm going to do this for you, David. But he didn't. He went beyond that. He said, you know what? My son, my only son, the fulfillment of what I am trying to give to you here relates to me and relates to my son. And in this oath, you're going to see that my son one day will be raised from the dead and not experience corruption. Can you imagine seeing? It's almost like, can you imagine seeing the New Testament God talking to David? But to David, it's not the New Testament God. It's just God. It's not. It's just God. God is. And from that, we get this beginning thing. So I'm going to just try to finish off these notes up to this point. There's only a few. That his soul... What kind of words are these? I mean, we understand it because we're so religious and we've been fed him. That his soul, my son's soul, will not be left in hell. What? You know, can you see David? What do you mean? Your son being left. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is, nobody else knows this and won't know it for, a millennium or whatever, a long, long, long time. And God is talking about his son. And I'm not going to leave him left in hell. And David's getting it. He's saying, this is what this is about. And I'm with you, and I'm with your son. And I don't know everything. And see, everything kind of moves in this direction because David doesn't know Christianity. He's just knowing this God that is intimate with him. And he talks this way to him. So he's continually hearing, what was the first one I talked about? The Lord said to my Lord, and he talks about being on the throne. It's like death, burial, and resurrection, exaltation of his son. We see doctrines. Doctrines don't move us very well. Amen? Doctrines don't move us very well. Unless you're a teacher and you just get into doctrines, you know, it's just not, it's not the same as the heart of God. It's not the same as him deciding, you know what, and there are three of them, so, you know what, this David guy is, keeps consistently not thinking about himself, but thinking about us. Do you remember when Abraham was walking along the road, leaving where he talked to Abraham, God leaving where he talked with Abraham, and Abraham walks with him, and there he said to Sodom and Gomorrah. And they talk together. And they say, shouldn't we let him in on this stuff? What we're going to do? This isn't prophetic we're talking about. This is a big, important point when I said that. We're not talking about prophetic stuff. We're talking about intimacy and care for, and respect, even from God, to anyone that would enter into the way that they are, or even venture to or desire to. So, I don't know. I am so deeply moved that, yes, I could just break down and cry. I don't want to cry. I don't like crying. But my heart longs, and see, that came from David. My heart longs. You don't hear that from hardly any of the great people of the Bible. My heart longs after you. I mean, we'll be digging into scriptures that we're so familiar with, it's ridiculous, but never really realize, oh my God, this isn't a moment in time with David. He has given himself to pursue God in this intimate manner of give and take, which is called love. So I'll talk all night, so I'll quit. Praise the Lord. Lord, you are so precious to want to speak to us in these realms. It's so hard for us to jump trains because our train is full steam in a certain direction, in a certain way, and we're trying to line up with religion, and we're trying to take care of the things on this earth like Martha. I just hope and pray, Father, that somehow your spirit could be released so that you could get more of this heart, more of David who wants your heart, but not David, us in union with you, us truly thankful and grateful of heart for all that you've done, and just get caught thinking about it and then want to give back in a huge way to you, and to live that way and to inquire that way. So, Father, my words, I know they fall short, but your spirit is here. And you know who it is that would be open, who would be hit with this. So I pray that as we continue more and more each time, we would see the marvel of the relationship that you had with David, and that you would love to have with anyone whosoever will. So we thank you for that. Jesus' name. Amen.